Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Well, Clemson has an opportunity, Cole, to get back to even this weekend. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact. 5-5 would be the goal with a win, sitting at 4-5 right now, coming off a 24-2 win against the Florida State Seminoles. To break it down and to talk about this game against Louisville tomorrow night, we go to Chapel Fowler of the State newspaper. Chapel, Clemson's defense, you know, has been porous, would be maybe a little generous to call it, maybe, you know, like a hula hoop and with a fire hose going through it over the course of this season. Was the performance that we saw, 10 points, holding Florida State to 10 points, is that a get-right game, or do you think Florida State was just that bad?
Good to be with you guys. I must add, so I'm en route to Louisville. If anyone ever doubted my dedication to this business, I'm coming to you live from a Taco Bell parking lot in Danville, hey. Kentucky. Got some chicken quesadilla in me, a little stop along the way, about 90 minutes out, so I've been working at it, so I was happy to come on with you guys and get some time off the road. To answer your actual question, sorry, I think Florida State did them a lot of favors. I saw a cut-up going around, or maybe it might have been some gifs within a story that Larry Williams did where he kind of took some plays from the FSU game just showing the number of open receivers that missed passes or where Tommy Castellanos like threw it high. There were three or four or five plays in that game where those coverage busts that really doomed Clemson against Duke rear their head, maybe not in as bad of a way, but in what could have been very damaging fashion. And FSU did them some favors by dropping those passes. And Dabo said as much, you know, it was a step forward from the defense, but it was not perfect by any means. I think his wording, I thought it was fair. He was like, you know what? We had some busts, but we got some breaks, and we haven't had many of those this year in key moments. So I hope they keep turning our way. So that's kind of the way you have to think about it at this point with a flawed unit. So, you know, it's better than the alternative.
Chapel Fowler, the state newspaper, joins us in the state segment. We talk to him and Jordan Kay every other Thursday at this time. Chapel, when you look at Louisville on Friday night, do you believe that Clemson's game plan with what their coaching staff is doing for tomorrow night's game against a solid Louisville team is much different than it would have been, let's say, if Clemson's season were to have gone as planned and they were still in the national championship hunt? Or do you smell desperate? We talked about this in the very last segment with South Carolina, maybe unloading the clip against NM this weekend. Do you think the game plan changes much when your season has gone the way it has?
I think it has to a little bit because you're playing for something different, but in a lot of ways it's a lot more important. Not, of course, in terms of like a championship context, but this is a team playing for pride and to avoid being, you know, the first Dabo team since 2010 with a losing record, and they've gotten, you know, a lot of crap thrown at them this year, and a lot of it is deserved, maybe not all, but most of it. Like, they've really fallen short, fallen on their face in a lot of ways, and here you have a primetime Friday night opportunity. I had to look this up. This is the first ranked team that Clemson has played since LSU in the opener, which feels like forever ago. It's the first game Clemson has played when either team has an AP ranking since they went down and lost at Georgia Tech, which also feels forever ago. So, you know, just it's the ACC. You don't get a lot of opportunities like that. Usually Clemson is the ranked team in those opportunities. So, you know, this is a hostile environment. They're doing a blackout with their jerseys. It'll be a fun one. So my thing is, like, why not empty the clip? Like, I think Carolina should do that against A&M. Clemson should do that against Louisville. Like, your seasons have obviously not gone as planned, but you both have an opportunity to, you know, get some sort of statement win, you know, diminished statement win, you might call it, but why not? You know, so I think it should change a little bit. If I'm Clemson, I would do that.
Chapel, we talked all off season leading up to it and through the better part of this season that, you know, Clemson's defense is loaded with NFL draft picks, some of them first round draft picks, looking at, you know, Avian Terrell and TJ Parker and Peter Woods. Do you think any of those guys, and maybe I'm asking you here to project what scouts would think, do you think NFL scouts are seeing the overall performance of this team and maybe are moving these Clemson guys down their draft boards a little bit? Is it possible that any of these guys fall around lower than what we all thought they would go?
I think it's absolutely a possibility. I'm not like communicating with scouts a ton, but I do read a good bit of like mock draft stuff, as I'm sure y'all do. And the, what I've seen, you know, whether from Dane Brugler, NFL Network, NFL.com, all these sites that kind of do that, ESPN, is I think the phrasing that someone used recently is like, you know, scouts are closely watching. I think this is in The Athletic. Scouts are closely watching to see how this season ends for a Woods, for a Parker, for a Terrell. I think of those three, I'd probably say Terrell has had the best year, just like objectively, but by his standard stats, everything, advanced metrics, not perfect, but pretty solid. Those two defensive linemen especially, you know, I think they have enough talent and potential to where a bad season isn't going to drop them to, like, middle second round or anything. I think, you know, if someone saw them sitting there at 20, they'd be ecstatic. But I think it is going to impact, or it can impact, their overall. You know, Peter Woods is not being projected at number one overall anymore. Let's put it that way. Parker is not being projected at number three overall. And, of course, some of that is the defense around them. But I think they've put some stuff on tape that scouts are – maybe not as happy with as they were last year, that dominant sophomore year for both of them. So I think this is a big three games. We're talking about why these three games matter, you know, down the stretch still. There's another reason. Like, a lot of these guys are playing for draft stock also because they put themselves in position where they need to have a strong finish and good tape against Louisville, Furman, Gamecocks in order to keep that lofty projection that they had heading into this year.
Well, to that question, Chapel, do you think it's still a foregone conclusion that these guys that are soft, the guys that are juniors, they all go off to the NFL regardless? Or is there a chance that some of them come back for one more just to improve that draft stock, get themselves back up into that top 10 status?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that's one of the more interesting ones as we come down the stretch here, just given how the season has gone. My lean for that stuff is always just that if, you know, a guy feels like he has a solid opportunity, a solid slot, you kind of just go when that happens. Like, if I'm in somebody's shoes, that's what I would do. You never know if, you know, a debilitating ACL injury is going to come the next fall in college preseason camp. The guaranteed money is important. It's life-changing. I understand all that stuff. And I think you've seen with Clemson, even after a guy maybe has, you know, not the most amazing junior year, I think about Miles Murphy a few years ago. He did not have a great junior year by any means, but he still went. He still got drafted pretty high. So my guess on those three defensive guys is they'll all still go. But I think just given how the season has gone, it opened up the door like a little bit slightly. You know, NIL is part of that too. But also part of that is all those guys got paid pretty well. And two of them specifically on the defensive line maybe aren't performing up to that level. So maybe that plays a role also. But my lean is they'll all go. But again, I do think the door is slightly open, maybe 10% or something if you want to put a number on it. 5%, 8% for at least one of them to at least consider running it back one more time.
Chapel, when you talk about those guys on the defensive front for Clemson, man, a big storyline, maybe the biggest in my opinion, Saturday is what happened to Isaac Brown of Louisville against Virginia Tech. I mean, you're talking about a guy who went for $150 against Clemson last year and has been a really solid running back. And obviously, that's a big, big blow to Louisville's offense. Do you feel like that kind of levels the playing field when you look at a Tom Allen defense that has struggled in recent weeks?
Yeah, I was sitting there last night when the report came out, and I was like, oh, I guess Isaac Brown's healthy. And then Louisville has made a mistake. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Mistakenly not had him on the report. Not any like devious stuff there, just a straight up error. Yeah, because sure. Brahman said they weren't expecting him to play, so that's what I anticipated. But the thing is, like, his backup, who's also a Brown, Kaywon Brown, yeah. Has been really good too. And their total like offensive stats for rushing yards per carry, all this stuff has been really good. And it was mostly Brown, Isaac Brown, who torched Clemson last year in Death Valley, like you mentioned. But, like, they've got some dudes around him. They've got some good receivers. I think, you know, regardless of who their running back is, who their quarterback is, if it's Miller Moss, if they shake it up and go with somebody else because he's kind of struggled. I think their identity is, you know, start with the run. And in their one-game sample size with this similar offense and scheme and personnel against Clemson last year, they did that and just torched them. I look at the stats yesterday. I think it was, like, 7.8 or maybe even 8 yards per carry that Louisville got last year. And I remember Dabo just being disgusted in that post game. That was kind of the first time that I truly felt like, okay, Wes Goodwin is not going to come back after this year, just given how Dabo talked in that post game. So I think Louisville from last year has a pretty similar script that they'll follow, and it's up to Clemson to stop them.
You know, Chapel, I mean, obviously you would expect Clemson to mix it up. It's defensive looks, whether they're going to hang back and play more zone, if they're going to play man and send some guys after Miller Moss. But, you know, you said it. He's been fairly inconsistent and just not impressive, really, for Louisville. 11 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. You know, just doesn't jump off the page there. But if you had to, you know, put a lean on it either direction, would you expect Clemson – especially with the pass rush, to come after Miller and be super aggressive, maybe try to pick him off early a couple times and put this game away early, which also leaves your DBs out there on an island? Or would you expect him to hang back, play a little more zone, and let the game come to them?
I would lean the first option, you know, dialing it back early, seeing what you can do, trying to force a turnover. Those turnovers played a big role against Florida State. I know they've gotten some better pressure relatively in recent weeks. You know, they've done a lot of those three defensive ends on the field at the same time packages that have been successful. I think more than anything else, like, this secondary, even there, you know, there have been some bright spots and they play better against FSU, but like, this is just not a super well communicating group. And my thought is, you know, the more time they're on the field, the more snaps or the more seconds per snap, like, probably the worse it goes. You know, so you've got a quarterback in Moss who's maybe not going to break off a run or go crazy and extend a play like some of these other more superhuman slippery guys they've played in recent weeks, whether it's Mensah or Kevin Jennings or Castellanos. So I think you should go after him and see what happens. Again, that does challenge your corners, though, and they've been iffy in those situations. But I think the less time your DBs are having to cover, especially against that good Louisville receiving core, the better.
Chapel Fowler, the state newspaper, joining us in the state segment every Thursday at this time. Chapel, do you believe that Graham Neff's tweet last Saturday was a vote of confidence in what he saw on the football field?
I think it was an acknowledgement of how well fans showed out in a season that's been anything but ideal for anybody. I think that was kind of less his hat tip or vote of confidence for the football team and their operations, and more just like as much as he could directly say to fans, like, hey, this season has been a mess. We want to get it fixed. But thank you guys for still packing out this stadium and doing what you did. I thought that was an interesting tweet. You know, I think he's very smart and calculated, just like Dabo. Said this all the time about Dabo. Like, Dabo doesn't say anything or post anything by accident. Graham Neff's the same way. So I think there's obviously intent behind that. But I do think that was a lot more angled toward fans who really just stuck it out and made that atmosphere really impressive for a 3-5 team.
Talking to Chapel Fowler of the state newspaper. Chapel, I thought there was a play, I want to say it was deep in the second quarter against Florida State. It was a defensive pass interference, just another awful call that I thought Dabo Swinney was going to be itching for another $10,000 fine. Ultimately, it didn't happen. He didn't go after the refs in the same way. But do you know if Dabo actually sent the first $10,000 fine to the ACC in the form of a big bag of pennies?
I do not know for sure. I'm going to lean no. I'm going to say that someone probably talked him out of that. I think he was just joking in the first place, but yeah, he was royally ticked off. But I don't think that happened. I might need to FOIA and see what I can find out about that.
All I could picture was, I don't know if you're a Seinfeld fan, there was the episode where Kramer was walking around with cargo pants filled with pennies. And that's what I thought. Is Dabo going to go to the bank or to the post office like that and just throw a big old sack of pennies on the table, said, here, mail it to the ACC offices?
Yeah, he avoided another one against FSU. I think you saw him kind of hold his tongue mid-game and post-game. He kind of emptied the clip after that Duke game. And I think for good reason, you know, if there's any moment to really rally the troops after one particularly, like, iffy call, like, that's the one to do it for. So I thought that was kind of his one time to rip him. He usually has one pretty notable instance of just ripping the refs, and that was kind of his shot in the chamber. And I think it reverberated. I think people heard that. There was a lot of national consensus that he was headed in the right direction with what he said about kind of nationalizing and more formalizing the ref structure for college football.
Chapel, what do you make of the ACC? I mean, you're talking about a Louisville team that Clemson's playing tomorrow night that's 7-2, but 6th in the ACC because of two crucial losses, one in overtime to Virginia, one to Cal, also in overtime. This is a Louisville team that's a couple of plays away, to use a Daboism, from being undefeated here in 2025, yet the ACC is a logjam at the top. Your thoughts on who comes out on top of that logjam?
Yeah, I just love the no divisions thing that allows us to have this logjam and all these awesome, you know, potential opportunities and elimination scenarios. One thing I wish the ACC would do is, like, publicize this stuff. Like, I wish they, heading into this week, gave us, like, a list of here's who's still in the running, here's who needs to do this to get in, here's what can happen this week. Like, everybody's relying on these tiebreaker websites, and I did a lot of that last year when Clemson was kind of in that logjam with Miami and SMU. I think the Big 12 does a good job of that, like really publicizing, you know, here are all the crazy outcomes that can happen. That would be a fun way for the ACC to drum up interest about what's kind of been a less than ideal, like, cannibalizing of ourselves moment. I think Georgia Tech is getting doubted a little too much. You know, just I think the fact that they were idle after losing probably hurts them a little bit. It did in the CFP rankings. But if I had to guess a title game, I'd go probably Georgia Tech and SMU, or maybe – yeah, let's go Georgia Tech SMU, and I'd take Tech to win it. I'd have to look at who has the second best chance to get in after Tech, but sitting there with one loss, I think they'll run the table. I think they're a good team, and I think they'll end up getting the ACC's auto bid.
You know, Chapel, to that point there, I did see a scenario somebody presented of Georgia Tech versus Duke in the ACC championship game. And if Duke were to beat Georgia Tech, that might push them so far down the line that maybe no ACC team gets in, because it's not – there's no guarantee that a Power Four conference gets a team in. It's assumed, but there's no guarantee. It's the five highest-ranked conference champions get the guaranteed spot. So, I mean, it's possible that you see two G5s in there, like a USF and a James Madison. Is there any scenario in your mind, or is that complete and utter crazy talk to say that the ACC could possibly not get a team in at all?
I think it's mathematically on the table, so it's not crazy talk. I don't think that will happen. If you just look at, you know, what the CFP values and the metrics and all that stuff, I would imagine even if the ACC title team is Duke with four losses or whatever, that resume will stack up favorably versus, you know, like the Sun Belt champion or something. I mean, shoot, last year Clemson was the lowest ranked conference champion. They lost out on a first round bye to what? The Big 12 team in Arizona State and the Mountain West champ in Boise State. So, you know, we've seen already how, you know, these Power Four teams or these conference champions are getting in with an automatic bid, but that doesn't guarantee a first round bye. And obviously they've changed the setup with that now to where it's just straight seeding. So, I mean, it's a fun alternative. I think the fact that we're at that point does not reflect well on the ACC itself and probably speaks to why they need a big brand like a Clemson or a Florida State or Miami to really lock in and turn things around, which obviously has not happened this year. But, yeah, I don't think JMU is going to beat out the Devils. But if it does, that would be an all-time Twitter joke for the rest of Phillips's tenure.
Chapel, you're the best, man. As always, appreciate the heck out of you, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Chapel Fowler,
Chapel.
The state newspaper in the state segment. We're also bringing a counterpart on in the next hour to talk some high school football. Lou Bezjak coming up. But Diesel, we've got to get to the top headlines, the top stories in sports. Our Daily Wire is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount+.